You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
And welcome back, Tom Turbrock. Welcome
Good to afternoon. Turbrock. How are you doing?
Doing excellent.
And how are the children's?
Awesome.
The chillins are very, very, they're doing great.
Life is good then,
yeah,
man.
Life awesome. Is very good.
You are blessed.
Want to welcome back to the studio. We have number one listener, Ryan Leach.
Yes.
Welcome back to the studio, Ryan.
Thanks, Doug. I love being here. It's a great experience.
Yeah, instead of just being, so listen to the radio this week, you actually get to be on it.
No, it's a strange concept for me.
Okay, so I know that a lot of people out there have questions that they'd love to ask us. And we're not a call-in show, so we don't always get them. And some people will send questions in during the week. But I thought, okay, let's bring Ryan in and let you hit us with whatever questions you have, whatever you wanted to ask for a while. Let's hear it.
All right, Doug, got a couple of them here for you. So let's start with talking about mortgages and lending. Tell me about what are some quick and simple ways to improve your credit score.
All right, so quick and simple ways to improve your credit score. One thing I can say is that there's not a one answer here for anybody. Okay, so the number one thing I see that can improve someone's scores quickly is reducing their balances on credit cards, reducing the percentage compared to the limit. Okay, that is the number one thing I see that someone can actually control. Now, frequently, there may be derogatories on their credit with late payments or collection or something like that. Those will affect it more, but you can't always control getting that removed. So if somebody if they see something show up that shouldn't be there, that's a fairly quick and simple thing that they can get removed if they challenge it with the credit bureau. But what they can definitely control is going to be reducing balances on credit cards. And then here's another simple tip that's right in certain cases. Okay, and this is one that the average consumer is not going to know whether this is right for them or not, but it's to open up a new card. Okay, so we just had somebody last week that the credit scores weren't quite there, and we have a special proprietary system called Credit Expert where we can actually figure out we need a certain number of points before they're going to qualify. What can they do to get to those points? And we put in a certain amount of disposable income. Well, the advice it gave this person was open up a new revolving trade line. So open up a new credit card with at least $1,000 limit. It changed their ratio of their debts, the revolving debt compared to their credit limit, and it actually put their credit score up high enough to qualify. So those are my quick and dirty tips.
So, Doug, tell me about more of the mortgage industry and what are some of the best things an individual can do to look better to a lender?
All right, so looking better to a lender, I could say brush your teeth, but I guess that would be for the dentist.
There you go.
To look good to a lender, the main things that a lender is going to look at, number one is credit. Okay, have you paid your bills on time? And the credit score is really a good indicator of how safe somebody is, okay? Because somebody can have perfect credit in the sense that they've never had a late payment, but their score is only a 660 because all their credit cards are maxed out. Okay, well, that really shows that there is a higher risk involved in that. So having high credit scores is certainly the number one thing that's going to make you look good. The number two thing that makes you look good is having a stable income that is very likely to continue into the future. Okay, so when somebody has a W-2 income, it's a salaried job, those are the easiest. I mean, that looks really good to a lender. Can't always control that. If you're in sales and you make commission, if you're self-employed, you can't always control those things. But having plenty of income in comparison to what your debts are, okay, so having very, very low debts will always make you look good to a lender. So those are the absolute two biggest things is going to be income and your credit.
Now that I've started moving more into a debt-free lifestyle, and you and I have discussed this a little bit, and we've talked with Tammy and our good friend Tom here about it, what are some of the virtues of being debt-free?
Okay, so the virtues of being debt-free.
No stress.
Well, that absolutely, no stress is that's probably more of a byproduct than the virtue.
Yeah.
But I think that the more, if you think of no stress as a virtue, then if that's the leading thing, then that would mean that you keep your debts down to keep your stress down too. So absolutely, that would be a virtue. So a virtue of being debt-free would be being frugal on a regular basis. Okay, and this can be taken to such extremes. And Tammy and I have this conversation frequently, and I've said that I was telling her some of the things my dad used to do, because my dad my dad was frugal for a reason. We lived, my dad made $482 a month between Social Security and VA. He was retired as I was growing up. He was disabled.
Right.
And he was raising, you know, raising a family on that, $482 a month. So we had to take frugal to a new extreme. It's where I still hate seeing waste, no matter how much money I make. And I understand. To me, that's one of the virtues of being debt-free is being frugal on a regular basis where you cut out all waste. Okay, here's a little stupid thing that my dad used to do, and Tammy laughed when I told her about this, is when we'd take a shower, we had to put the plug in the shower. Anytime it was wintertime, we would always put the plug in the shower, you know, because it was a shower-bathtub combo. We put the plug in. What would be your guess on why we would do that?
Use the water again?
It's a pretty good guess. Okay, so two different reasons. Number one, you could see how much water you used.
Okay.
And we would have contests to see how little water we could use when we showered. So you turn it on, you get wet, you turn it back off, and then you soap up. And then turn it back on to rinse, then you might wash your hair, and then turn it back, you know, turn it back on to rinse. If it was above your ankles, you used too much water. Second thing is the hot water, if it was wintertime, you're losing energy because you've paid to heat the water and now it just goes down the drain. Well, if you leave the plug in, then the heat from that water goes into the air and helps heat your house too. And now that's
brilliant.
That's the micro.
Oh my goodness!
That's the micro level of how far frugal can go.
Sure. Okay?
Now here's the downside of that. I've found when I start really thinking with a defensive mindset and I go overboard with it, I start to live in scarcity. Okay, I start to live in scarcity and I lose my ability to make money that happens. Mm-hmm. My income starts to go down. Now, somebody that doesn't have variable income like I do may not suffer from that because they're already getting a salary or something like that. It may not be an issue for them. But for me, I have to stay out of scarcity and try to live in abundance. And like I have to temper how frugal I can be at times.
I see.
That answer your question, Ryan?
It does. I'm still trying to fathom how your dad saved any money on that. Probably added up to about, 30, 40 cents?
Yep.
Well, true.
Well, my dad would do, he figured out he could increase gas mileage in his car. He would turn it off when we'd coast down long hills. He'd turn the motor off and coast down the hills. Like, that's how far that could be taken, trust me. I mean, that sounds like the most absurd thing ever.
Not really.
No.
We had to do that, honey, on vacation.
That's true. We were riding on fumes, though.
Yes.
And if you think about the hybrid vehicles, their engines shut off whenever you stop the stoplights.
Right.
So your
Same
father
principle.
Was an innovator.
There wow. you he go. Was. Wow. See? Yeah.
That is
Another
brilliant.
Perspective.
Yeah. The poor man's hybrid.
Exactly. Sure.
That's awesome.
Tell me, by what age or stage of your life should you start preparing for retirement?
All right, so what age should you start preparing for retirement? Okay, and we've said this on the show a lot of times, is the Chinese proverb of when's the best time to plant a tree? Well, 20 years ago is the best time to plant a tree. Well, when's the second best time? Today.
Right now.
Okay, so when is the proper age to start planning for retirement? Well, I've seen grandparents start, they'll go ahead and pass on inheritance to the grandkids instead of directly to their kids, and start putting money away for college or even for their retirement. That's not a bad, might help them buy their first house. The sooner you can teach a kid to do that and always save a portion of their income, even when they're kids, like it just becomes part of their lifestyle that they always start saving, if it's for retirement or if it's just to have money in the bank, either one of those are really healthy for a kid. So I certainly think by the time, the minute somebody gets out of college and get their very first job, they should start saving for retirement.
And Amen. I guess that would be like getting 401k or investments.
Sure. Absolutely. Like right. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody's going to have a 401k available depending on what the job is.
Right. IRA, I guess.
Right. But it could be an IRA. Mm-hmm. It could even be mutual funds. It could be any type of investment vehicle. It could be even stashing cash in your mattress. Okay. Not long term.
Sure. Right.
But that's certainly a way to save money.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Ryan, what else do you have for me?
Grill him.
We've got all kinds of stuff, but I want to actually talk with Tammy a little bit about the family and the kids and how that all plays into your overall.
Well, I tell you what, that is, when it comes to family and the kids, I'm going to interject real quick here because I'm going to go ahead and go to break now so we can save that question for when we return. So When we return,
a
we
teaser.
Have
teaser.
Yeah, it is a nice teaser here because we have Ryan Leach, one of our favorite listeners, here in studio with us, and he's drilling us with questions today. And when we return, Tammy's going to be answering some questions about family and children when it comes to money and raising kids with 8 kids between us. There's a little bit of room to talk about that subject. So you'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
What's in a number? If that number is 4, it's your connection to help if you've been injured. Schultz Myers is easy to reach. Remember the 4s. Just dial 314-444-4444. Schultz Myers, putting you first.